But over the years, how do you think the people there feel about their royal families? We're playing with fire over there. Saudi Arabia, most people, their income gone down 2/3 in the last few years, while the 5,000 people that make up the Saudi royal family making off with all the oil money. A few people would like to get rid of them. Same with Egypt, same with the rest. Pakistan. How do you think the dictator of that country must feel right now? Pervez Musharraf, he's got guns on both sides of his head. One on one side says, "You're either with us or with the terrorists. Don't mess with Texas." And the gun on the other side of his head are his own people, who are estimated by the European media to be 15% pro-Taliban, not just the Afghan Taliban, but a movement just like them in Pakistan that wants to run that country that way, that's also estimated to include the sympathies of 30% of the armed forces, including many top generals and the recently fired head of the ISI intelligence agency, who must have some very, very interesting friends. And Musharraf has admitted he can't control his own army, and the people who are going and shooting people in the part of Kashmir that India claims is theirs. India says, "You control them or we're going to nuke you." What happens if these same generals who got rid of somebody else only 3 years ago to put Musharraf in power decide they can just as easily knock off him? Then do we have to aim our war on terrorism against a country of 140 million people who has the atomic bomb? What else borders Afghanistan? Iran, well, we tried to enlist them in the war on terrorism. They laughed us out of town. Gee, I wonder why. Then up above are these former Soviet republics like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and above there, Kazakhstan, supposedly sitting on more oil than Saudi Arabia is. Those places have barely figured out how to be countries at all, and they're all in the hands of corrupt dictators who are being opposed by armed, violent Islamic fundamentalists, if this sounds familiar. How much more of a fire are we going to light in those places if we invade Iraq? What's going to happen to our wonderful friends in Saudi Arabia or even in Egypt? One columnist in one of the British papers predicted that in the next 5 years, the opposition was already so intense that the governments of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and the Palestinian Authority were all going to fall to Islamic fanatics. I hope he's wrong, but that's the kind of fire we're playing with over there. And the rest of the people we trained in that jihad went back to their old countries and brought their new fighting skills and fanatic religious fervor with them. And so now what do you have? Violent Islamic uprising stretching from Algeria, where it's been going on for years, and 100,000 people have died since the military moved to prevent a democratically elected Islamic fundamentalist government from taking power. Yes, people voted them in. All the way from Algeria to Egypt to Saudi Arabia to Pakistan to two different flashpoints in Indonesia now, another in the Philippines where we've already sent in troops who couldn't even rescue one American hostage right and killed one of the two of them. That's the amount of fire we are playing with over there. We go into Iraq, you think Ariel Sharon's going to wait 10 seconds before he tries to drive every Palestinian out of the West Bank, which some documents show he's already expressed the desire to do that, thus handing Osama bin Laden exactly what he wants, a world war between Islam and the West. And so far, he didn't get his billion new warriors for the jihad as soon as we bombed Afghanistan, but we go into Iraq, that's going to be another story, and there's no way the other side is going to win, but a hell of a lot of innocent people are going to die on both sides and come home in body bags. And I repeat, what will those people's children be like? We're going to be dealing with bombings and hate on a scale we can't imagine today for years and years and years to come.